Kimpley, senior coal member, who has a fascinating share that hope you enjoy.
Thank you for your kind words. Okay, Rabbi, welcome. I thought we would speak about the Inyana de Yoma, the current events, quite literally current events. As you may or may not be aware, as we speak, the new president is being sworn in. And the question is, how does the Torah view presidential power? How do we look at it? Is it like a melech? Is it like a king? Is it something else? Is it royalty? Now, a little disclaimer, you may have realized by now that I'm not from these parts of the world. I'm actually from England. So perhaps I'm a little biased on this topic, but nevertheless, I thought it would be an interesting topic to speak about today. By way of introduction, we find in these parshiyos, the parshiyos that we're learning now, four times, Rashi mentions that you have to give honor and covet to the malchus, to the king. One place is in Vayechi, it's very understandable. Yosef is coming to Yaakov, his father. Yaakov gets up, and Rashi says, why is Yaakov getting up for Yosef? Because Yosef's the viceroy. You have to give honor to the viceroy. But one place, the parasha actually landed this morning, that Moshe Rabbeinu is told by Hashem, Vayetzaveim of Bnei Yisrael. Hashem commands Moshe Rabbeinu about the Jewish people and about Paro. Says Rashi, what is Hashem commanding Moshe about Paro? Says Rashi, Tzivom olov lach loik loik kovet b'divrei. Give honor to Paro. And this is a wonder. What is going on here? You give honor to a murderous despot? You give honor to a king who's a villain? Is there anyone worse in the Torah? The ultimate expression of evil is Paro himself, and you have to give him honor? The most dishonorable person in the Torah? So, of course, what we see from here is that when you give honor to a king, it's not the individual you're giving honor to, right? You're giving honor to the position. And it's not just a political move, because then he'll like you more or something like that. Hashem is not a politician, right? Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to give honor to Paro, even though he's an evil man, but at the end of the day, he is a king. And as a king, the idea is that he has a certain power which reflects the power of Hashem. In a certain small way, since he has this ultimate power, if you recognize this power and the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him this power, then you will have a small inkling of what the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also. And therefore, you have to give honor not just to a good king, but even to an evil king. And that's the introduction. The bracha that we make on a king, as you've seen in the packets, it says, "Haroya malchei umos ha'olam." When he sees kings of the nation, he says, "A bracha baruch shenasim mikvoido lebasav adam." Blessed is he who gave of his honor to basav adam, to flesh and blood. Which again, we see the point is that somehow the kingdom of a king, the power of the king, the royalty of the king, reflects somehow the royalty of Malchus Shemayim in some way. Okay, now the big question is, do we make a bracha on the president? Okay, is the president considered a king? The way Chazal understood Malchus, he certainly has some power, right? Perhaps some would say he's the most powerful person in the world. Maybe that's disputable, I don't know. But he definitely has a lot of power. And so do you say the bracha Shenasa mikvodo lebasav adam, a king or not? Is he similar enough to a king that Chazal had in mind or not? The second question is, that we'll deal with, if you don't actually see the president himself, if you say that you do need to make a bracha on the president, you just see his motorcade or you see Air Force One or something like that, you never actually saw the president himself, do you make a bracha on that procession, on that show of honor to the president? Or no, only if you actually see the president himself. But generally speaking, we have a lot of brachas that you make when you see something. You see a shooting star, you make a bracha, you see Mount Sabratius. You see the Alps, you see impressive mountains, whatever, the Rockies. Then you say, you see Mount Sabratius, you see the sea, right? Many different things. When you see them, they're so impressive. You say, oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made these impressive things in natural order. How great HaKadosh Baruch Hu must be. So in the same way, we understand Hashem made the natural order. He also created, he made kings. He gave honor, he gave cover to the kings. So usually you have to actually see it. If you don't see it, you can just sort of somehow sense that there's a shooting star. You don't make the bracha. But maybe the bracha on the king is somewhat different, even if you just sense that he's coming by. Is that good enough? Okay, so let's first deal with the first question and then the second question. The first question is a president a king or is he not a king? Now, this is a very modern day question, because a couple hundred years ago, everyone knew who is a king and who is not a king. Right? There's no gray area defining, are you a king, you're not a king. It was pretty obvious when you were in the presence of a king that you're in his presence. Modern day, you know, democracies, so we've invented all these ideas of power, but not full power, a little bit of power. So now, you don't find so much in Poskim going back. The earliest source we have, which defines for us what is a king in halachic, you know, in the from the perspective of halacha, is a tshuva of the Ritvaz. Now, I actually did not give you the tshuva of the Ritvaz to read inside. I tried to get it in later, but it was too late. Let me just read for you a few of the words of the Ritvaz. Sha'alto mimeni. The Ritvaz says, he's living in the 1500s, he was the Rebbe of Arizal. He says, Sha'alto mimeni, you ask, mevorchim labasha. Do you make a bracha on the basha? It's an Arabic word. The basha is like the emissary of the king. And he's like the governor who's sent to a certain place. You're the one who's supposed to look after the people in that place. Okay, the basha, asher shulach, shalech, ha-melech ha-mitzrayim, the melech sends it to Egypt. Do you make the bracha, shecholak mikvodu l'basav adam? Do you make that bracha? So he says, dovazeh nishal m'lifnei ha-ravram abed. This question was brought in front of the Ravid. And this is what he says. This is the rule. How do you define what is a king? Klolo shel davar. He gives three different tonight, three qualifications of how do we know what's a king. Number one, kol mi shehuchashuv b'shultanuso. It's a very vague definition. Somebody who is choshuv, is prestigious in his ability and his powers. He's the most prestigious one in his powers. Kamalach, like a king, very vague. Number two, v'don v'horik b'mishpat, and he's allowed, he has the ability to kill, right? He can say, off with your head, and that's it, you're done. That's the second condition. And the third condition is, v'ein misha mishan al devarav me'en ulav milav lehen. And no one can contradict you. If he says, this is how it's going to be, then you can't go against his orders, you can't refuse him. Then, kamelachu, then he is like a melach, even though he's not officially the king, he's still like a melach, and therefore he concludes that since the basha, this emissary of the king, has these qualities, he says that since he gave him the shultonus of Mitzrayim, harehu kamelach basma, he's like the king, mavarech baruch shecholak mikvodoy don. Okay? So basically, we have, so he says, this governor, this emissary, he's enough of a king to make the bracha. Why? Because he has the power, he's known as choshev as him, he has the highest power. Number two, he can kill. And number three, no one can disagree with what he says.
Isn't the king higher than him?
Okay, that's true, very good. But he's saying, in this precinct, in this area, there's no one as choshev as him. But you're right, the king could override him. And that's actually a very important point. Acharonim are going to learn from this tshuva of the Ritvaz, you know, that it doesn't have to, you know, what the extent of the power that he needs to have. And this is a good point. The king could remove him from office. The king could override him, right? But unless the king does any of those things, he has all the power. Okay, very good. So that's really the first maramakam of how do we define a king. So there are really three main questions with regard to the president, whether he fits the bill or not. Now the first, the most obvious one is, can he kill? Does he have the power? You okay?
No.
Alright, you're fortunate. Yeah. Does he have the power of life and death?
He gets muted, yeah.
What?
Commutative.
Very good. Okay, very good. So, Ohana, what?
It's indirect. It's not direct.
Okay.
No, it is direct. He can direct a drone to strike
a lot of people.
Right. And he's not doing it.
Can I
just say, it's not within his, it's power given to him by Congress and all that. He's not the one who, okay. Not like a king says, like, okay.
Okay. That's also a more fun. Okay, excellent. Very good. So all these points, all of these points are made by Poskim. So Rabbi Yosef has a very interesting tshuva about this. He asks, right? That is the question. Nasi Medina Bezmanazer. If you have a president nowadays, can you make the brachim? So he said it would seem to be on the face of it, he doesn't have the power to kill. He doesn't have the power to just say off with your head and that's it. However, he says, Ulam Nira, even though he brings other tshuva svarim who say, President, you cannot make a bracha on him for this reason. However, he says, I disagree. He says, Hoyel v'yesh v'yadu shel nasi medina lekabel or lifches hamlotzas chanina. Since he has the power, like was mentioned, to commute or to pardon someone who's on death row. In other words, somebody who has already been convicted of death can appeal to the president and say, please pardon me. And he personally has the power either to say, no, you have to die, or I'm going to let you live. So since he has that power, albeit somewhat indirectly, but he has the personal power to decide whether you live or die, therefore, this condition of whether he is a melech has been met. Says Rav Avad Yosef, Nimtza she'samchus dina nefashos mesur v'yodeh, people's life are in his hand, v'arehu k'melech shadon v'harg mishpat, he has the power to kill. Now, okay. So
the power to kill is because he could decide not to commute.
Exactly. Uh-huh. He has the power. He has the power either to accept or deny. And therefore, it's only him. No one can override him. No one can.
Is he talking about the Israeli president or the American president?
Yeah, well, he's speaking about all presidents. He's speaking about presidents. All presidents with Banazak. The same
Israeli president.
Israeli president can't commute.
Well, he can't commute, but he obviously doesn't have a lot of power.
Doesn't have more than that. Okay, right, that's an interesting point. He doesn't mention which president.
The president's pardon power is absolute. That's the one thing that can't be over.
Right, okay. So that gives him the power. Now that's an interesting idea. Obviously, there are other postgame who disagree with this, because he can't directly say, off with your head, so therefore he's not considered a king. But that's Rabbi Yosef's opinion, that the power to commute or to pardon, that is enough to fulfill this requirement. Now, another way to look at it is the tshuva of the Shevet HaLevi, which I gave to you. It's sort of the end of the packet. I don't know if you have time to look at the whole packet yet. It's the second last page. Second last page of the packet, top line. He's talking about kings and presidents in today's day and age, and he says a very interesting thing. He says, "V'chein poshet be'enai." Top one. It's obvious to me that filu ein biyodo larig mamish. Even if she doesn't have the power, talking about a woman, doesn't have the power to actually cause death, v'li hisyatus in Rosh Hashulton without consulting with the senators, etc. Mekomoko. However. Since he or she is the most honorable of all of them, and you give honor to them in a way that you give to no one else, he's recognized as the top man by everyone. You can say the bracha, and you should say the bracha on the king. What about the Chivas Ravaz, the name of the Ravid? Who says you need the power to kill? Says no. He says, look at that tshuva carefully. What's the whole source for the idea? Magen Avraham brings it. The Ravaz is talking about somebody who's the second man who was appointed by the king. Of course, the king himself, you make the bracha. The question is, the second man, does he still have a power like the king? So then the fact that he isn't able to kill shows that he's not really like the king, like the top guy, who of course the king could kill. That's a shechisorin ushus laru who simonach hisorin gadlusa. The fact that the second man can't do the same thing as the king can, i.e. to kill, shows that he's not really like the king. But the king himself doesn't need to be able to kill, right? It's only the governor. In order to prove that he's like the king on the same level, he has to have the same powers as the king. And therefore, he says, "Loi b'melech atzmai." You don't need this condition for the king himself. Just because there are some laws in place with preventing the king to kill, that doesn't prevent you from making a bracha. Because he is intrinsically the king. He is the top guy. And says that Rav Osner, this is the shape of the laser of Rav Osner, he says it's obvious to me that that's true, and therefore the king does not need to have the power to kill in order to be considered the king. So here we have two arguments from the person.
The governor of Maryland.
Very good. According to this Rav Osner, you should also be able to make the bracha on the governor. Now, I don't think in all states they have the power. In all states, right.
Yes. Is he not saying that a king, by definition, who's called a king, you don't need the power to kill? Or he's saying that this basha, anybody who's like a governor, whatever it is considered a king because they have these powers?
Well, okay, so the way he's understanding it is not that the power gives him the king, the shame of the king, the name of being a king, right? What he's saying is that the fact that he's allowed to kill shows that he's just like the king, who of course is allowed to kill, because he has the same powers as obviously the king does.
So what makes someone the king going to the
governor? Right, so it's unclear exactly, but I think what he's saying, if you give honor to him, like you give honor to no one else, and everyone agrees he is the top man.
Right,
so maybe a governor doesn't, but in terms of Ravadia's point, Ravadia said that he has the power to commute or to grant a pardon. So many governors do have that power, right? So depending on whether you go with the Rav Avadia or the Shevet HaLevi, would be this question about the governor. Okay.
All of this is about Kavod, so what if they're not the Chabad?
Very good. So that's another question. Right. So the way the Ritvaz set it out almost sounds like it's all about power. Does he have the Shultonus? Does he have the power to kill? And he doesn't have the power does everyone have to listen to him? So that's all power-related questions. Other posts can bring that, okay, very nice, maybe you'll say he has the greatest power in everything. But, maybe we'll jump. The next point is that Rav Avadia Yosef himself says that I believe you should not make a bracha in the present. And the reason is, he says like this, Ulam adayin yesh makam lodin efshel avorech al-nasi shiru lovush bigdei ezrach. He's wearing, what clothes is he wearing? He's wearing a regular suit, regular tie, right? Maybe it's a red tie, but anyone can get this suit and tie.
Very expensive red tie.
Expensive suit. But if you're rich, you can get the same suit as he is. He has, right? There's nothing that you could. You look at him, you can't tell that he is the king, right? It's not nikar. In other words, when Chazal said you make a bracha, it's only on somebody who is recognizable. You stand in his presence. Wow. This is royal. Yeah. This is the king.
Yeah,
right?
You talk about Air Force One or the Beast or whatever.
Very good.
He does have
Very
stuff
good.
We can't get.
Okay.
Also, not back in the day, you didn't know who the king was until he wore something. Nowadays, we know. We have pictures. We have this. But back then, you don't know.
Right.
The person who came to the carriage, that was must be the king.
Right? Yes, right. Very good. All these points are made by the poskim. But anyway, I'm just saying, Rav Avadia Yosef, this is his he's basing it on various tshuvos for him. He says, Rav Avadia Yosef says, since he's wearing regular clothes, you can't see his honor just by looking at him. Therefore, you should not make the bracha on the present. That's really how he concludes. You can make it without the shame of Malchus, but you should not make the bracha on the present. Now, he's quoting a tshuva, which I brought for you over here. I think I brought for you. That was the second. I said the second time. He's quoting a tshuva from the Nivchar Mekesev, who asks a question. Somebody asks him, if you see a king. Oh, you do have it?
Yeah, yes.
Oh, excellent. Okay, so the Shuvah's Nivchar Mekesev says, Nishalti al Roleh, it's the third last page, the last Maimokim, Nishalti al Roleh Samalach, Meshunah Ke'echa Ra'am. you see the king, and he's just wearing regular clothes. What's he doing wearing regular clothes? So, do you make a bracha even when he's not wearing his royal gown or whatever it is, right? The guard, okay. So, he says, true. Say, of course you don't make a bracha now. Only when you see the king in his glory, the daigloshna bracha. What's the bracha? Baruch shechalai mikavoyed of asmadam. He has to be more honorable than anyone else. You see an honorable person, you make a bracha. If he's just walking like a regular guy, ayek kavoyed al haritzo. Where is his honor? You can't consider that honor. Vagam mashem azal. Elo ikar hakavod hu b'malbusha. The main kavod is what he wears. Shem kavod shel adam. The honor of Yerushalayim according to Yvan and Chabuse. Yerushalayim said that a person's clothes give him honor. Gam suso v'richboy u'bnei cheloi haholchin lifnei merkavtai. Also his horses and his chariots and the army around him which precede him, that gives him honor. But this guy, he's just wearing, he's almost like he's sort of dressing up to mingle with the commoners, maybe. Without that, loichal kiv habrocha of dor pashut. Okay, so he's basing it on this Chuvas Nircha Megatid. Now, there is an argument to make that, okay, that's in those days, where in order for the king, who's honorable, he wears his royal clothes. But nowadays, a king doesn't wear royal clothes, he wears normal clothes, so it doesn't detract, perhaps, from his royalty, the fact that he's wearing regular clothes. And one can make an argument that the fact that he is in a motorcade or an Air Force One or something which shows his honor, like the continuation of the tshuva, you still see his honor right there. If he's just walking around and there's no one, maybe he has a few security detail with him, but whatever. But he's not. You don't see his honor, so then fine. Then you shouldn't make a bracha. But if you actually see the moment, you know, this is a situation where he's been given tremendous honor. Then there are those who argue with Rabbi Yosef. They say, no, it's true, he's wearing regular clothes, but you can see his honor. And when you're in the presence of such a display of honor, you feel, wow, this man is the most honorable person, he's the king.
Rav Sheshet was blind,
yes.
Right? And he was making a bracha.
Yes.
And Asavat Rav Pinto over here is saying, oh, it's not a problem. He was hearing, Rav Sheshet was hearing the kavod of a melech, etc.
Yeah.
What does it mean to be here? Like, it's, number one, it's very different to see and to hear,
yes.
Right? In terms of how I appreciate the kavod of... Uh-huh. What is the Rav Pinto saying over here vis-a-vis hearing the kavod of a king?
But also, the bracha has nothing to do with saying. The bracha is whoever gave honor to the king. So,
that's the question. That's the question of Rav
Sheshet. Shmaya, Megillah, those are different things.
You need to see the honor of a king over here, where we specifically told you it's the motorcycle, it's the motorcycle, motorcade, and the clothes, and the crown jewelry, and the whole shebang.
Uh-huh.
So,
very good. Okay. So, that brings us to the next point of, if you don't actually see the king himself, right? So Rav Avadia is saying, you need to see the king himself in his royal garb, that's when you make the bracha. What we're saying now is, it all depends on if you see the honor of the king, rather than seeing the king himself. And that brings us to really the first Maramaka, which is on your sheets, which you probably saw, the story of Rav Sheshet. Okay. Okay, so the Gemara brings a story of Sheshet. I don't want to go through the whole thing. Presumably you saw it already. Rav Sheshet, let's just see a few lines of it. Rav Sheshet, Saginar Hava, Rav Sheshet was a blind man. This is on the first page of the Maram HaKomis, underlined. Rav Sheshet was blind. Everyone was running to see the king. And the blind Rav Sheshet also, he also wanted to come. So Ashkechahu Mina, there was a min who found him. And Rashi in one place says the word min stands for, what does it stand for?
Ma'am
Yeshu Natsu. Tell me the Yeshu Natsu, yes. Very good. That it actually means that it's a reference to the early Christians. He was a min. He was, and they caused Klal Yisrael trouble. Interestingly, the Christians never were spoken about explicitly in the Gemara, they're just in Beremes. But anyway, so this man found him, saw Rav Sheshet run. Amalei, he made fun of him. He said, Chatzbi l'nara higani laya, meaning these words, if you look in Rashi there, what it means is, if you have a bucket, the bucket goes to the river because it could draw water. But if it's a broken bucket, why is it going to the river? Where's it going? You know, you can't draw anything with it. So in other words, you also, you can't see anything. So what are you going for? Amalei said to him, Tochazi, you'll see the Adanat Femenach, I know better than you what's going to happen. So Cholof Gunda Kamaisa, the first procession passed, and I don't really don't think, it made a lot of noise, and everyone said that the king is coming, and Moshe said, no, he's not coming. Second procession passed, made a lot of noise, king coming, not coming. Third procession passed very quietly, Moshe says, now the king is coming, and in fact, that's what happened with a quiet procession. That's when he came, and he said, I learned it from Pasuk. Okay, so Rav Sheshes proved to the men that he knew better than him about the king. And then, three lines from the end of this source, it says, Ki Osa Malka, when the king came, Pasach Rav Sheshes become a Vorech Le. Rav Sheshes, he opened his mouth and started blessing him. So the word Mavorech Le, I'm not 100% clear what it means exactly. Pashas, many understand it means he made the bracha on the king. Right? Made the bracha on the king, even though he was blind. Amalei Amina, the mandala chazis kumavarchus, you're blessing someone who can't see, and then, okay. So, the post game, the Magen Avraham, look at two sources later, the Magen Avraham says, Mashma b'gemara, afilu suma sheidei shamalach ovi mavarch. Even a blind man, if you know, you sense somehow the king is passing, I'm in the presence of the king, you make a bracha. Even though you can't actually see the king, and you can't even see the procession of the king, but you can sense somehow there's something going on over here. So then, blind man also makes a bracha. And your rabbi disagrees, says that's not how you read the Gemara. Right? The bottom source over here, it's Tzarchiyin. The Lashon Hashas, look at the language of the Gemara. Pasuk Rav Sheshes become a Vorech Lei. He blessed him. It doesn't say he made a bracha on the king. He blessed the king. He just said, you know, the king should live long. Mashma Shayim Mavarech Lamelech, Ke'in She'elah Shalom. He's just saying, you know, long live the king. But not that he actually made the bracha, he didn't see. Can't make a bracha. And that makes a lot of sense. Nashas, Haroya Malchi, the Mishnah says, if you see a king, you make a bracha. He didn't see the king. How can you make a bracha? A blind man never makes a bracha on any of these things. He knows there's a shooting star happening. He doesn't make a bracha. He knows the Alps are in front of him. He doesn't make a bracha. But suddenly over here, he should make a bracha. Therefore, the Eliyahu says, no. The Gemara doesn't mean he makes a bracha. It just means he blessed the king. And a blind man cannot make a bracha. Unless you actually see the king himself, you wouldn't make a bracha. So according to this, according to Eliyahu, if you just saw the motorcade, you didn't see the king. So you should, presumably, not make a bracha. Okay. And this is a big machlokes. Most post-kim, Mr. Brewer holds, even a blind man could make a bracha on the king, which means presumably that on the motorcade also you should be able to make a bracha. Now, there's a very interesting thing. Why is this different to all other brikas of Raya? Right? Huh?
But what about TV or
TV?
Seeing them on
what's
TV?
A TV?
Whatever, digital thing, whatever they're called. Yeah.
So, okay, so the post-kim do talk about this. The Tzal HaChochma, he speaks about this. And he says, it's Pasha, a number of Poskim says, Pasha, if you just see, even a live stream, then you don't make the bracha. Because what is a live stream? It's just a digital recreation of the scene. You're not actually seeing the thing itself, right? It goes into the camera makes it into electrical signals, sends it over, and then interprets electrical signals and makes a new picture based on what's going on.
It's interesting because when it comes to, things that the usher to look at, then it's the same thing. There's no difference.
Well, there's still a difference. That depends. Exactly. There's a big difference. In other words,
so you're right. Experiencing the thing, whether it's digital or not.
Right, but if you're in the presence of the king, your heart will start pumping fast. Right? If you're in the presence of a TV screen, it doesn't do anything. Okay, interesting. Wow.
A motorcade isn't meant to also, that's enough. Your heart's not necessarily.
Very good. So some people said, I saw in the Tefer Piskei Tshuvos, he did not bring a proof for this, but he said, motorcade isn't really honor. Motorcade is just for protection, really. You know, he has guards around him to make sure no one does anything, fine. But it's not really honor. Now, I don't know, I think that a motorcade l'chared is a procession of honor. They have the motorcycles, driving exactly in the right spots and whatever, and you have the flag and the big car. I think it is a display of honor. So the Chorah motorcade would be, and that's what some posts can say, In which case, is it a slave on? Now,
the machlokes is what's the tavana? Or was it what was happening?
Well, everyone agrees that a mertuke is there for.
The reason why they're protecting the king is because they got to protect this guy.
Right, so one could make that argument also. Maybe he's right. The only point of the motorcade is just to protect. But why are we protecting him? Only because he's so chashev to protect, and therefore that itself shows the honor.
You're saying that the motorcade provides no honor. There are flags in the front. There's two guys on motorcycles in the front and the back. Yeah. I mean, those guys can get picked off right away. You don't need them. I'm not saying there's three or four
SUVs
behind the front and the back.
That's true. But, you know, I'm sure there's anyone could put flags on that car. I'm not really a big black car if they want to. And we have people riding motorcycles in front of them behind. It's not really something meyuchad that, wow, this is the king. Okay. But this is a very interesting thing. It seems, according to these poskim, and let's take a look at the Shari Tshuva, the next Amr, the next page, we have the third Marimokhev is the Shari Tshuva. Before we see that, let's see the second Marimokhev, because that's going to make the point that I just said. The second Marimokhev says, V'yesh leida, you should know, the Marek Tzir, the second Marimokhev, you should know, Shafilu ina roya pnei ha-melech, even if you don't actually see the face of the king, ha-omid shom, one who is standing there, k'sha'ovra ha-melech, when the king passes bechvoido with his honor, with his princes, with his dignitaries, avodah, his servants, mivarech, you make a bracha. So he's as you see clearly from the story of Sheshes, even though he didn't see it, but he could feel the king was there, and therefore, even if you don't see the face of the king, you should still make a bracha on the king because you see his honor, you know, the motiki. Now, why should this be different to all other Birkas Haroya? Let's take a look at the next Maramakim Shari Tshuva. The second last two lines, Venira, he says, it would appear to me, the Dafka Beriyazu Ahamelachatin came. Only when it comes to seeing the king do we say such a thing that a blind man could also make a bracha. Kivan Sheikra Bracha, because the whole point of the bracha is Shecholak Mikvoida, that he gave honor. Vechein Mash Masham Uvdid Rav Sheshes. And that's what it seems from Rav Sheshes. Of an aim lumad, you can't learn from here. The Shah bracha shavar chalariyah. The other brachas that you make a bracha chalariyah v'lo alidiyah. Not just because you happen to know there's a shooting star, so you didn't look up. You can't make a bracha. You have to actually see the shooting star to make a bracha. To see the Alps, you have to make a bracha. Here, what he's saying is the bracha on the malach is different to all other brachas that you see, and he's proving it from Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes, all he did was he could feel that the king is coming. So what he's saying is that the bracha of the melech is not a bracha on seeing the king, but on experiencing being in the presence of the king. That's really what the yesod comes out. If you can somehow feel and experience being in the presence of the king, it's not a birkas harei in the normal sense.
The king is not there.
Okay, so that's
interesting. Like Buckingham Palace, and the king's on vacation.
Right. So then you don't feel you're in the presence of the king. You just feel.
You feel like in the presence the whole change of the guard,
right,
whatever it is.
But then it's a sheker, you're not.
Right, let's say the motorcade passes
and
there's no presence.
You're experiencing the honor of the king without him being there.
But it's not real.
It's just that hechad timsa. The king's hechad timsa.
But
you
don't have other qualifications that we talked about. So
why does he have to be there? He is the king. He's not here now. The honor of the king is...
Very good. So it seems like there is a condition, because I'll say only when the king is there. You're right. The chara should be, as long as you see the honor of Malchus, that should be enough. But Chazal still said you need the king, so you can't go that far. It has to be that you feel you're in the presence of the king. Yes.
Back to Rav Sheshes. Yes. Maybe a blind man can bless. I mean, can say the bracha.
Can, yes.
Yeah, but maybe can. But maybe
not.
Yes. But maybe Rav Sheshes did that from Amshlo Malchus or something. Uh-huh. Because this is one. Two. There is not a problem of a bracha levatala. Let's say I see the Air Force One, but maybe the president died.
That's true. In other words, you have to be for sure. You have to be sure that the president that he's there. Right? You can't say, well, probably he's in. You have to know that he's there.
So I can't be. I mean, so it seems that the owner is not there.
So they told you they just saw the president get onto Air Force One, and you came just now,
right,
and you see Air Force One, and you know the president's there, because your friend just told you, you just went off the steps.
Maybe he didn't know that the king is there.
He was confident enough that he knew that when it's quiet, that's when the king comes. So you know, he knew, and then he felt tucked under the presence of the king, and he made the bracha. Well, yeah, this is also all very interesting.
And the Queen of England or the King, there they have no power, right? So
So let's take a look.
Not even.
So let's take a look at this point.
Let's
summarize where we're holding at this point.
Good.
Where are we holding? We have the Ritvaz. The Ritvaz is telling us that there is such a thing as conditions. You need in order to be considered a king, he needs to have a certain amount of power. The question is, does a president fit into that, to those categories or not? And that's discussed in the first place. Some say yes, some say no. Just, by the way, the maskara of the Heinemann holds, you do make a president. You do make a bracha on the president.
B'shem
Malchus. B'shem Malchus, holds that way. As some poskim hold.
It's malchut lezman. Why would it be...
Okay, that's another question, right? Very good, very good. That's another question.
So he's a temporary king. Even if he's a king, he's a temporary king. It's not a
excellent.
Real
king. So that's the last tshuva that I brought. And this also relates to the Queen of England. Let's compare the president to the Queen of now, the Queen of England. Okay? So most people probably would say the president has a lot of power. So he's sort of like a king. The Queen has no power. She's just a figurehead. So she's nothing. That's what many people would say. Ramon Sternberg makes the opposite argument over here. So let's take a look over here. The second to last page.
She has no power?
Oh, so what power does she have?
the entire government is because of her. Like, everybody's deriving.
On the paper,
they're deriving their power from her. Right.
So here we have a situation where the queen has.
Or a king.
The queen has official power, but no actual power. Right, and the president has actual power, but maybe less official power. So let's take a look. Let me ask you a question. If the president said, you know, he went up to you and said, you, stand up. Can you refuse him?
Yes.
Right? The answer is, yeah, why not? Of course you will refuse him. I don't have to stand up. I'll take you to court. And, you know, you're trying to make me stand up. Right? The president can't do anything. Officially, he can't really do anything. He doesn't have any power on a very particular level. Even if he gives a presidential order, sometimes it can be overridden, right? And sometimes he overreaches what he's able to do, and you can take him to court, and very often they'll say, no, he doesn't have that power. So officially, he has very little power. But unofficially, you know, if he wants to go after you, he can go after you, right? He can pull strings, he has a lot of influence, and unofficially, he has a lot of power. Officially, he's actually very little power, right? The queen, on the other hand, officially, this is her government, she actually has to sign off on every law. She has to sign to agree to every law. But what would happen if she didn't sign off on the law? Then they would abolish the monarchy and say, thank you very much, have a nice day, right? And they would get rid of her. So officially, she has a lot of power, and she has royal, you know, guards and everything. But unofficially,
you don't have to stand up if she tells you to stand up also, right? You have no power than the president.
Officially, you do. If you ever go to meet the queen, now I've never met the queen, but there are people who have, they say, they give you a whole spiel beforehand. You're not allowed to speak before she speaks. You're not allowed to, you have to do this, you're not allowed to do that. And maybe they do the same thing with
the president. I thought she had the power to enforce that on you.
Well, okay, officially, I think she does. On the books.
I think there are probably still laws that exist.
Exactly. Officially, on the books, she is the ultimate power. She could say off with your hand. I don't know exactly. But officially, she has the power. Unofficially, she has zero power. Like, on the ground, she has no power. So that's really,
Did you really have, Rebbe said that she signs it into law? Is there a veto power?
Yes. She could decide, I'm not signing, and then there won't be the law.
Charles goes by heathen.
Charles what?
He goes by he, him.
Can always rely on Velvet.
And I also, I know Rebbe said, or Heinemann said, you do make a reference to the president. What about the vice president? Or does he also use other qualifications that he uses? The governor.
What about a judge? No, a judge, it's the first class. Judges, you do not, even Supreme Court, whatever. It has to be the top man. It has to be the president. Okay, let's take a look at this Chumash HaMahal. Because they bring together a few of these different points. Second last page. What time do we have? What time do we have to finish by?
As far as we're concerned, when our professor comes in.
I don't know. He definitely does have a pen. Okay. Shumas von Huggis, second last page in the booklet. Shumas von Huggis is from Moshe Sternbuch. He says like this, Zichroni, I remember to Shegiya L'Eretz Yisrael L'Bikur Hanosim America, when the American president came to Eretz Yisrael. Nechluku ha-rabonim. The rabbonim were in disagreement in Lavarich whether you should make the bracha shenasan mikvod eloi. Everyone was arguing: should you make it? Should you not? Some said yes, some said no. But the dati, according to my opinion, kimon shema amoda hu tolei ve'omid ba'achlotas based hanivcharim. Since his whole position is based and is dependent on the based hanivcharim, which is the House and the Senate. In other words, they could get rid of him. They could say, no longer president. Impeach him.
They could try, but
I'm saying that as a body, at least, they have the ability to get rid of him.
Only if he transgresses certain things.
Well, okay. Right. That's true.
Or they think they can.
They can always find something. No, that's true. If they all decide together, we don't want him anymore. They could get rid of him.
Yeah, they never decided together.
They would
be going against their own.
No, they could. I think they have the power. Maybe, I don't know, you have to look into the laws. Okay, anyway, he's saying this point. Since they could get rid of him, since they could remove him from office, and his powers are very limited, in Lavaret, you should not make a bracha. It's not like the kingdom in England, even today, on every new law, the queen, at that time, the queen had to sign. She can never be removed from office, I guess, as the queen, officially. She has the royalty, and it's in her hands, she bequeaths it to her children. And he makes another point. Her honor is exactly like the regular honor of kings. So what he's saying is it's not just about power. First of all, she really has the power officially to sign the law. Number two, her honor is like you give honor to a regular king, right? It's also about the feeling of honor that you have. The Afshal Amaisi, even though in actuality, she would never get involved in the politics and in the laws, but Kamakam still, on the books, Tarachas Hasimosa still has to have her signature on every law.
Is that the same with the president also? He has veto power?
He does have veto power, that's true.
And they can override his veto.
They can override, that's true. All the government got together. I don't think they can override his veto. They do.
It goes back 2/3 of the majority.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Yeah.
You need a majority of 51 out of 100 to pass the law. And then if he says no, you need 2/3 majority.
In both.
He's 67.
Okay, fine. So they can override him. So the Jews are not going to go further. He says, he makes another point now. He says, and the whole government draws its power from her. In other words, officially, she is the source of the power of the government, at least the way it is set up at this point. Now, they could make a whole new system and abolish the monarchy and have a new power system, but here the whole government really draws its power from her. Another point, her honor has never gone down, even one little hair, although nowadays that's true, if you know the newspapers in England. Okay, the Ein Mishnabura. And look at the Torah, Gerish, Shotonim, She'ein Ola Melech Aleihem, V'don Meharik, Meharik, Mishpat, Mavarach Malon. If if they can officially kill someone, and you make a bracha, then no one else above that person. Number one, they can knock him off. I mean, they can remove him from office. Number two, so here is another point. Is that what? He is only a temporary king. Right? It's only a 4-year or
is
maximum. Actually,
that's a temporary position. No? Cannot be removed by the.
Very good. So that's what.
What if he plans to get rid of democracy?
Okay, I so, no, but your point is made. Thank you, Calvin. Maybe we'll discuss more later. We'll see me after that.
I don't want to touch any of you guys.
Oh, so you're making a very good point. You're saying that. If you look at the Ritzvahs, and this is the point made by other Shuvah Sfarim, this Sefer Yerushalayim Lakish Das, he says, what is Rav Moshe Shneur talking about? Just because you could remove him from office, that means he's not a king. But in the Ritzvahs' case, you can also remove him from office. The king could decide, it's not a lifetime appointment. Right, that's true, that's a good point. However, I think in this line over here, Rav Moshe Shneur, he's refuting that. He's saying, it's true the king could remove him from office, but it's not a temporary position.
He was put in for life.
He was put in for life. It just happens to be that he could be removed. That's the point he made before, he could be removed. But now he's saying more than just he could be removed, is that he will be removed. And it's only a temporary position, and therefore he's not like a king. But that's what he wants to say. And then he continues, look at the underlying portion. Actually, now he's talking about the president in Eretz Yisrael. You're a Pasha chain of that.
South Africa.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. You're right. Yeah, he's talking about South Africa. Obviously, you don't make a bracha. Shurak Shliach Ha'am. But Lezman, he's only appointee of the nation, only for a short time. They probably will remove him at some point. He's not like a king at all. Okay. So he makes this point that, basically, to summarize, he's saying, the Queen of England, that's a real queen, even though officially maybe she doesn't have so much power, but she's for life. She is, the whole government comes from her, is learning from her, and she's a real queen. But the president, he's not. Right? Other Svarim, the Tshuva Yavakish Jared, makes the exact opposite point. He says, the queen, she has no power whatsoever. She's just, you know, she's just a figurehead. She's good the country gets money because everyone wants to come and see the queen. No, more than that, she's really not good for much.
This is Yavakeshoma?
As opposed to the president of America, he has all the power, and therefore you should make a bracha on him. So you see how, you know, the poskim are grappling with this thing. Some places there's more power, but less, more official power, but less unofficial power, and other places the other way around, and how do we deal with that? What do you say? I'm sorry?
I'm just making sure. It's Yavakeshoma, Chacham Avadia.
Shomer?
Yevakesh Omer?
Who is not Yevakesh Omer, the Yevakesh Torah. True is Yevakesh Torah. I don't know who that is. He's a person nowadays. Okay, now let's just finish off with.
Is it Tully in how you understand, if it's Tully in the fear that you have, or just like the covering? Meaning, is the lumdis of. And what you're making the bracha, it's more about the yira, so then you're not scared of. You're not scared of the Queen of England, I don't think. You're scared of the president.
Right, well, it depends what you mean when you say
yira. The fact that.
Right, the word yira has two, there are two types of yira. There's yira so'inash and yira so'ronimus. Right? There's one type of fear where you're afraid, what's it going to do to you? So, afraid what it's going to do to me, I would say more from the president.
Right.
But yira sa'kovet, like awe of the majesty and honor, and like, you know, I'm in the presence of somebody, that kind of yira. You have more by the
or you could say like that.
That's really the question. What kind of thing are we talking about? Okay. So finally, let's take a look at this last paragraph. The very last paragraph of the sheet on the very last page. So it says a point which was made before. I have a question. The Marshal Isib Anglia, I've seen in England Yehudim owned the Mulha Arman. The Jews they're all standing around the palace. The phone every so often Hamalka Mr. Kelas Bachutz, the Queen makes an appearance at the window. The Osmavarakan and say, I see the Queen, let's make a bracha. Right? Shalakhir Shabracha Rak. So it says Ramash Shtambrach, that's not when you make a bracha. only kishaveres berachayiv kamalka, when she's walking around the street, or she passes like a queen, and people are honoring her, you see her covered, her honor, in front of your eyes, you're honored of her, then it makes sense to make a bracha. Why? Because you're not making a bracha on her, you're making a bracha on her honor. This fits with what we said before, is that even if you don't actually see the president, you just see the motorcade, there's a good reason to say you make a bracha, because you're making a bracha on the honor of the president. Here he's saying the opposite. If you actually see the queen, but you don't see her honor, you just see her, but she's not wearing garbs, so then he's saying, then the Khari should not make a bracha.
So she came out with the crown and all the garb,
then you would, right. But if she just appears in the window, she's having lunch, and she looks out the window to gaze upon her subjects, whatever it is.
The Leo servant.
Then you would not make the bracha. It's because either you see the queen, you see a malka, but you don't see malchus, right? You see the queen, but you don't see a king. That's what he holds. Again, others maybe would disagree. The other post can say, or really he says himself, look down in the next underlying passage, Avol Efsha, but it's possible, that since you do honor the king, even though at the time when you make a bracha, you don't actually see the honor in front of your face, nevertheless, tikkun of bracha, then maybe they still made a bracha. In other words, it's true that you don't see the kingship at that point, but you know that she's the queen and you see her, so maybe that's good enough. You see the person, you know that she's the most honorable and she is the queen. So therefore, maybe that's enough, and he's not sure. He goes back and forth about this. In other words, he's saying if you see the person, but the queen, but without the malchus, maybe that's good enough. So the Gemara shegam suma mavarech, the fact that a blind man makes the bracha, al kach l'neshem margish kavod ha-melech. It's clear that it's only because you feel the honor of the king. And Cain, and therefore Nira, he thinks, shalzem mavarech, that you're not making a bracha on the person of the king, but on the honor of the king, and therefore, even though he's going back and forth, but he sides with this opinion that he really should not make a bracha unless she is with a garb. So in halacha l'maisa, what should you do if you actually see the president or his motorcade? Basically, it seems to be a big machlokes. I know that's not so helpful, but Rahanim says you could make a bracha. It seems from most of the places.
Or he says just when you see him.
I don't know about the motorcade. Yeah, I didn't hear from him about the motorcade. But he just said the president make a bracha. Motorcade is a shayla, right? It seems from most of the posting that I've seen that you should not make the bracha because of these problems that I mentioned, is that he doesn't have the power to kill, and he doesn't really, he's only for a temporary time. It's not clear that he's a king. And therefore, at least it's enough to make a suffix, so you shouldn't make a bracha in the suffix. But like I said, there are posting like a behind him, he says you do make a bracha on him, and there are those who say even by his motorcade, should we?